Reporting center.
Yeah, you part of the Air Force?
No, sir.
If I tell you something, will it do any good? Is anyone, you know, will accomplish anything?
This is a private scientific research organization, and we're gathering all the information we can on this subject.
Oh, do you give it to the government, or?
No, it's used for private research.
Well, has it helped any in the past?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I mean, are you starting to see any patterns or anything?
No, we've seen several patterns for many years.
Oh. Okay, well, I'll tell you what I saw then. You can tell me if it's worth anything to you.
Okay.
Do you want to ask questions or should I just tell you?
Oh, just go ahead and describe what you saw.
Okay, I'm not supposed to be telling you this, but I fly for the CIA. I'm a reconnaissance pilot.
Uh-huh.
And I just came from Tokyo. I just landed about 10 minutes ago at the flight level 510. And about halfway between, I'd say about halfway in a straight line between Tokyo and Hawaii.
Uh-huh.
I was about halfway, I'm not sure. I was out of radar contact, just on my own alone there, but I was still in radio contact. And is it a full moon? I don't know if it's a full moon or not, but it's very bright out there in the ocean. And this thing came up to me, no wings, about double the length of my airplane. I was flying a Phantom F-411.
Uh-huh.
But double the length, which would be about 45 feet, round-shaped, not circular, more triangular, but no bottom and no top, all equidistant sides of the triangle. And they weren't sharp. They were sort of rounded off edges. And the ends of it were flat. And no noise, no wings, no thrust, no windows. No, nothing which would give it a reason to fly.
No appendages of any kind?
No, nothing.
Okay.
And on the sides of a Phantom, I don't know if you're familiar with them, but we do have very high-intensity spotlights, which are built into the fuselage, which you can see to the side of an aircraft. They're used to, when you're loading up bombs at night at the runway, you turn them on so the guys can see, so they put the bombs underneath them.
Yes.
And so I turned the lights on the side, and saw a very clear picture of it. I mean, it was there. It wasn't my imagination.
Did the light actually reflect off of this thing or illuminate it?
It didn't reflect. It was a porous material, probably. Well, it looked like sponge rubber is what it looked like. But it was not metallic.
Uh-huh.
You could see pores in it. You couldn't see pores, but it looked like maybe asphalt would look from a distance, something like that.
But I mean, is that light actually illuminated?
No. It just sort of went ahead and hit it.
Okay.
Didn't bounce off or anything.
How close did this thing get?
The closest it got was about 70 feet from the wings. Now, I have radar, and it was on radar. And the image doesn't, it wouldn't reflect that close, but it got up to about 50 feet from the left wing, and then as far as about 200 feet. And it stayed there for about a half an hour.
Okay.
This is at Mach 2.2. It's roughly, 1,900 miles an hour.
Did you see this as it was coming in towards you?
I didn't see him come up on me, no. I just sort of looked over and it was there. And then I looked and looked and looked and I thought, well, I just, a shadow or something. So I turned on all the lights on that side. And it was definitely there. I could see the dimension. I could see the top and the bottom and the end of it. The dimensions of the height, I'd say, were... I'd say probably 10 feet. 10 feet by 10 feet.
Okay. Was this thing laying flat, or was it to have the apex up?
It had the apex. It always had the apex up, but it would slowly rotate. And the apex, I think all the time it was there, it started from the apex being up to the apex completely rotating around. It took about 15 minutes to do it.
I see.
And it would move a little bit and stop, move a little bit and stop, move a little bit and stop. It didn't look like that was necessary for flight. It looks like that. I think it was just turning for, I don't know why, but it wasn't necessary for flight. You could tell that.
And did it maintain the same position in relation to you while it was doing this?
More or less, yeah. I'd say. But it didn't stay close to me very long. It only stayed 50 feet for about a couple of minutes. It stayed just out of real good sight most of the time. It seemed, I might sound crazy, but they seemed to know what was good sight and what wasn't for me. I have perfect vision 20/20. and I'm a captain in naval intelligence, but I've been working for the CIA for the last 2 years.
Did you get any buffeting off of this?
No, none. No buffeting, no turbulence, nothing.
Okay, how about instrument interference?
No, perfect.
Okay. Were you in contact with any ground stations for radar check?
There's no radar in that area. I tried three times to see if I was in communications with somebody and asked if there was aircraft in my area that was, you know, maybe a little off course. And they said, no, close to the aircraft, and it was 400 miles away, they said. And I said, you absolutely paused? And they said, yeah. And there was two radar ships, but they were both out of range. And oddly enough, he disappeared right when this guy said, well, you'll be in range in about 3 minutes. And about a minute after that, this guy pulled away.
Okay. Did you get the impression you were being observed?
I think they're more interested in the airplane than they were in me.
Okay.
But I did have that impression, yeah. I also had the impression that they knew what was going on. I mean, I know it sounds a little nutty, but no one else seems to care about it. I've been flying all my life. I know what an airplane is and what it isn't. There's not that many airplanes that can go as fast as that at that altitude, first of all. You know, 2.2 is pretty fast.
Right, you bet. Did you have any unusual physical or mental sensations while all this was going on?
No.
Okay.
The only thing that sort of bothers me is I haven't slept for about 30 hours. But that's not any big deal for me. I've done a lot before. I just was coming from two other missions, and I just hadn't got a chance to sleep, and I just wanted to get home. So I've been flying a long time, but like I say, I've done that a lot, so it's nothing. I mean, I've been able to do that before. So.
Okay. And you definitely say that the surface of that, or the texture of the surface was pitted?
Yeah, not big holes, but
uh-huh.
It was rough.
Rough, okay.
It wasn't metallic.
What was your altitude?
Flight level 510. I did climb a little bit to see what sort of... I was curious. I climbed it to 60,000 feet almost instantly. If that, I don't know if you're familiar with that plane. Are you a pilot?
No, sir.
Well, that plane can climb very fast. It's one of the best planes we have. In fact, its actual top speed is classified. But anyways, I gave it full power and put the nose up to 60,000 feet. And there's only maybe 8 or 10 other aircraft in the whole world that can keep up with that. And this thing kept up with no strain at all, you know. I mean, no effort at all. It kept right next to me.
Mm-hmm.
And he started to move almost instantly when I did. Like, he knew I was going to do that.
Moved right along with you.
Yeah, no problem at
okay.
all. Now, when he left me, I went up 60,000 feet and sort of stayed there for a little while and put into a dive to see if I could outrun him. And from 60,000 feet to about 49, I get it up to about 3-point-something Mach, which is really moving. He stayed right up with me with no problem at all. And then the guy said, well, you'll be within radar range in about 3 or 4 minutes. And about a minute after that, he pulled away from me going forward at least triple the speed with no effort at all. I mean, no acceleration. He just was there, then he was a speck, and then he was gone.
Okay.
At the same altitude.
Do you remember the time on that?
Well, this is about, I'd say 12 hours ago. No, about 10 hours ago.
Okay. And how long did that whole event take place?
I'd say altogether about half an hour, 20 minutes, half an hour.
Okay.
I did get the time, but the time was Korean time. I can't remember whether it would be an hour off if I even gave you the time. I can't remember if it was 4 a.m. or 4 p.m. It was one or the other Korean time.
Okay.
I can't remember if I reset the clock or not when I left Korea.
Okay, is there any chance of getting your name?
Yeah. No. Wait a minute.
Anything in case we want to get back to you?
You can get to my commanding officer, and he can get to me, but I'm not really supposed to tell you. I'm not even supposed to tell you that I was doing this.
Uh-huh.
But my commanding officer name is... And he's Chief of Naval Intelligence at the Pentagon. You know, I'm always in contact with him. He's my superior, and,
Okay. That would be just sent to the care of the Navy Department?
No, care of Office of Naval Intelligence, Admiral Collins, Pentagon, Washington, D.C.
Okay.
But the main thing I want to tell you is this thing had no... You know, like, you can sort of tell if an aircraft is really working to keep up with you speed-wise. I mean, it sort of has characteristics, but this had no effort at all keeping up with me, and there's no lag. I mean, they can accelerate or decelerate as fast as they want to, go up and down as fast as they want to. It was not a... It defied all the laws of aerodynamics. There's no reason for it to fly.
Okay, when this thing pulled away from you, was it high speed?
Yeah, it was next to me. Within 10 seconds, it was a speck. And a speck on the radar. The radar screen I had is about 150-mile range. I can tell the speed exactly. It took it less than 10 seconds to get off the radar range. Less than 10 seconds to go 150 miles. And I saw it going across the radar range. And then
okay.
Then we have on the radar you can... There's three modes. There's 150 miles, there's 250 miles, and 500 miles. And so to see it on the 500-mile range, I upped the range from 150 to 500. And the time it took me to flip the switch, which is another 3 seconds, it had already gone past the 500-mile range because it wasn't on the radar anymore, which means it had already gone through that other ring. You can imagine a circle, 500-mile circle around you. That's what it's like.
Okay.
And we have intelligence radar, which is the best you can get. I mean, you can pick up a skydiver 400 miles away, in free falling skydiver, it'll pick up on a radar.
Did this thing leave any trail as it took off?
No, we have Hawker heat sensing missiles, and the heat sensing missile has a computer which can track the exhaust of a jet. The exhaust of a jet stays in the sky the same way a wake in water stays in the water. You can track it the same way. Well, that computer was on two, and there was no thrust, no heat, no energy coming from this.
Okay.
But this thing will sense heat up to 20 miles away at that altitude, and there was no heat coming out of this. And that's very sensitive also. And you can start up a gasoline engine, you know, in a car 20 miles away from this thing, and turn on the missile, and it'll find the heat and blow it up. That's how accurate it is.
Okay, did you get a good, a solid return on your radar?
Perfect, yeah.
Okay.
Which surprised me, but it was perfect.
Okay, I can tell you that the, just from the research and, data bank information that we keep, that the triangular-shaped object is becoming quite common.
Someone else has seen it, you mean?
Pardon?
Someone else has seen it?
The OAS, the triangular-shaped object, has been seen many times.
Oh.
I'm a little surprised that you didn't see some kind of colored light system on it, because...
No lights.
No lights, okay. But they're getting to be quite a common object reported by witnesses.
Do you have any idea where they come from?
Oh, no. Those associated in the field of ufology are kicking around all kinds of theories. Some think they're from outer space, and some think they're some sort of a time travel or something coming from another dimension or a parallel universe.
I'm not the only one that's seen these things. No. I mean, other people have seen these things. Well, that's good to know.
Oh, yes. Yeah. They've been seen at close range by ground witnesses.
Yeah, well, do you have a magazine or anything you print?
We put out a publication periodically to keep people up on the latest events.
Could I receive that?
Oh, sure.
Could you send it to my brother? Would that be okay?
Sure.
Okay, why don't you send it to...
Sure, will do.
Yeah, I don't know if it helped me to tell you this, but the people at approach control in the Navy didn't seem to care.
Was this in Honolulu?
Well, Honolulu approach control, and Honolulu, Department of the Navy there didn't seem to care.
Uh-huh.
And the same thing in San Francisco.
Okay. Did you get our numbers from the people in San Francisco?
Honolulu.
Honolulu, okay.
So, I don't know.
Well, I think that the people that are associated with the flight controls, FAA and so forth, they've been hung up, you know, given so much responsibility in this field, and it's given them such a headache over the years. They're trying to get it off of their back.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like every time the FAA gets in the press associated with UFO sightings, and these people at the various FAA facilities are hounded by the public and answering, they're doing more time answering the phone in relation to UFOs than they're doing taking care of their job.
I wanted to speed up and get around him and see what the other side of this thing looked like. But I could not run him. He could slow down and speed up as fast as I could. A Phantom can go from 2.2 Mach to 50 miles an hour in about 10 seconds. That's how fast he can slow down if you wanted to.
Uh-huh.
And I tried that, and he slowed down just as fast. There's very few airplanes that can keep up with a Phantom. There's no Russian airplanes that can. So either it's one of ours or it's somewhere else. But like I said, there's no reason for it to fly. It has no energy coming out of it, no heat, no power source, nothing.
Yeah, a lot of scientists that are working on this feel that these things are associated with some kind of a technology which has a laws of physics completely different from our own.
Hmm. Well, has anyone ever reported seeing one up close and touching it?
Oh, yes. It's not a common thing. Close approaches are common, but having the opportunity to touch one is not, but it has happened.
And what did it feel like?
Well, all of those that we have on record claim that it appeared to them to be a very solid or a metallic object of some kind.
Someday, one of them has to land and talk to somebody, right?
Well, there's claims of that, too. But unfortunately, there's just no physical evidence to back it up.
Hmm.
And that's what the scientific community wants right now. There's a mountain of statistical evidence in relation to this subject, plus a lot of good photographs, and there's some good films around, and qualified witnesses, testimony who, have seen these at close range, but the scientists and the scientific community in general, they want physical evidence,
mm-hmm.
which seems to be very hard to come by.
Well, I'm glad to know I'm not crazy. At least somebody else has seen what I have, so.
Well, we sure appreciate the report.
Well, good. Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
Okay.
Good luck.